Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, even though we're going to look it up to verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former claim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your word is living word of living God. It has power to change us, make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, we pray that our faith will grow, that you will grant all of us an ear to hear your word. And Father, let us imitate your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more. And let us live that holy life to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After the salutation, we read Paul's thanksgiving prayer in verses 3 through 11. Now from verse 12 then, Paul reports on his situation to the Philippian church. And just by what he says and how he says it, it causes us to wonder if he is truly bound in prison as he writes this. His report just does not sound like coming from someone who is in a prison. But in his report on his situation to the Philippian church, from verses 12 through 26, we could divide that whole section into two sections. Verses 12 through 18, he describes his situation all in terms of preaching Christ. And from verses 18 through 26, he describes his situation all in terms of living the very life of Christ that he preaches. And here we must understand that this is what Christian life is all about. Witnessing Christ and living the very life of Christ. And as he reports his situation to Philippian church, this is how he does it. Everything is in terms of him preaching Christ and him living that very life of Christ. Today, we will look at verses 12 through 18. But before we do that, let me start with this question. What is a Christian life? What is your understanding of it? What did you expect to happen to your life when you became a Christian? What was your expectation? Well, Paul says in this letter, chapter 1, verse 29, he says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." He poured out his grace to his people not only to save you, but that you would suffer for Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 18, "You and I, we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." It is very clear a Christian life is a suffering life. And top of that, we are called to endure that suffering with joy. Now, question is, how are we going to do this? Suffering and joy, how can they go together? Is this even possible? The Bible clearly claims that not only it is possible to endure sufferings with joy, but that all true Christians are called by God to do this. But how? And we're going to learn from Paul. Well, in conclusion, if I were to say that first, we have to live by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us, namely heaven. Now, we must know who God is, first of all. He is the Almighty God who is sovereign over all things. Nothing happens in this world without him controlling over it. So whatever that might be happening in your world, or to borrow Paul's language, whatever your circumstances might be, God has everything to do with it. There is no such thing as chance. All is by his plan. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 11b says about God, "Who works all things after the counsel of his will." And first thing you must do is that you trust this God. And you must entrust yourself to him. Fact is, He loves you. He loves us. And all things happen for our own good. Because if we're true Christians, even sins we commit, God will arrange it so that somehow we'll learn from it and it will benefit us. No, that doesn't mean now, you know, let us go and sin. No. Because if it does benefit us truly, then you will sin less and less. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what you need to understand is this, that God causes all things to work together for good. But this good, it's not what world thinks what good should be. Yes, all things are happening and it's working together for our own good. But what is this good? Well, next verse tells us, you know, Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. We have been predestined by God to become conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are predestined to be like Him. That is what it means when God says, for good. All things happen so that you may be more and more like Christ. See, God's purpose is that. It's not about making you rich here or making you president of this company or whatever, you know, the world wants. That's not God's plan. Ultimately, God's plan is to make you just like Christ. This is His plan for you. And this is what your life is all about. We forget. We think we have different purposes in this world. But ultimately, God's purpose for us is that we may be like Christ. All things work together for our good, and our good is that we will be like Him. You must understand this and believe this, and you must live out this. God causes all things to work together so that we may participate in His life more and more, that we may live the very life of Jesus Christ, that we may be more and more like Him, imitate Him. In spite of our continuous sins and shortcomings, God will fulfill His purpose for us. You and I, we continuously sin, but chapter 1, verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the reality. Yes, we sin, and sin, and sin. But He who began a good work in us, He continues His work, and He will perfect it. And what is His work? Making us more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, how can we endure sufferings with joy? We must also see our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. The joy has to come from Jesus Christ and your heavenly reality. Otherwise, it's not Christian joy. Or even non-Christian will be joyous when things go well in this world. That's not Christian joy. And that joy, the worldly joy, is not forever. It's temporary. But the joy that we must have as a Christian is the eternal joy. And this eternal joy doesn't change as the things of this world changes or my situations changes. Because my joy was never on those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If your focus is on the world and worldly things, it's going to be very hard for you to have joy. But it says, we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. When you look at your heavenly reality, then you will have joy. And what is not seen is eternal. That is who you are forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17, therefore from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Do you see it? Even as you see this world, visible world, it's already passed away. And behold, the new world has come. And you must see the reality of that new world. It's already accomplished for you. You already possess it. You are the citizens of that place. This is why we keep saying we have to live by faith, not by sight. By sight, all you see is this visible world. But these are temporary. This is like, to us, is as if it is already passed away. A new world has come. The heavenly world. That's where you really belong. So this is what Apostle Paul does. He judges all things in terms of his heavenly reality. He doesn't judge by sight. He judges by faith. And this is what you must do. Oh, yeah. If you judge by sight, the result will be completely different if you judge all things by faith. It's not the same. How are you going to live your life? Judging things according to sight or by faith? That's the question. Now, if you live your life judging everything by faith, well, to the world, then you are very, very dumb. Because How can you live according to something you don't even see, something you cannot even touch? How do you know it's really real? That's the point. Do you believe? That's why we're Christians. We believe. Look, Paul, what he does. Now, he says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Perhaps the Corinthian congregation was worried about Paul as they found out that Paul is now in prison. He says, my circumstances, my being in prison, he means. And according to Acts chapter 28, his circumstances were more of a house arrest with two guards chained to him on both sides. Paul was able to receive guests who came to him, but he did not have freedom to go anywhere. He is in prison. Now, what is amazing is Paul's attitude in his circumstances. Verse 18b, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. And this rejoicing is all over his letter to the Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 17b through 18, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Does he sound like he's in a prison? What would be our response in the same circumstances? We probably say, God, I was working for you. I was going all around to preach the gospel, and now I'm in a prison. It's all over. How can I preach Christ any longer since I'm in a prison? But Paul judges all things by faith, not by sight. Brothers and sisters, we have to ask this question. What is my life? What is the meaning of my life, and what is the purpose of all history? Who am I? What am I? What is all this about? You know, everybody wants to live a valuable life, worthy life. The life that is worthwhile. What is that? You know, the world tells you what that life must be. But is it right? What the world tells you, is that the truth? You know, value of your life, according to the world, is about what you do here. What you become, how much money you make, what kind of job you have, you know, how many degrees you have. You know, I don't have to explain all this to you. But is that how the value of your life is given? The people of this sinful world want to find the meaning and worthwhile of their lives and their devotions and their sacrifices in a political movement, in a social movement, in their sacrifice for others, for their family, for their country. Now, I'm not saying that those things are bad in and of themselves, but you and I must remember this. The meaning of my life, the worthwhile of my life, is given only by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. All our devotions and sacrifices for others and our country, our family, for any movement that we think worthwhile are all in vain apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. It is vain to talk about all your accomplishments when you go to hell. What is so big deal about boasting of your life in hell? Without Christ and what He did for us, all our lives and all we do will be meaningless, completely meaningless. I don't care how much meaning that the world gives you on what you do, is still meaningless apart from Christ. You must understand this. And don't think you're living a worthwhile life because the world recognizes it. On the other hand, don't feel like your life is completely meaningless because the world says it is. We do not judge by sight. We judge by faith. And this is what Paul does. He's in prison. Instead of grumbling, he understands that even in prison, his life doesn't change. Because it's not about where you are in this world or how much valuable things, what the world says valuable, that you might be doing in this world. Your life is in Christ. Listen very carefully. Paul lives a Christ-centered life, a heaven-centered life. He lives a life of, I'm willing to lose all my security, all my reputations, even my life, to gain Christ and gain the eternal life of heaven with God. That's why in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. This is foolishness to the world. Why are you willing to lose all things? Losing all your securities, all your reputations, even your life. Just to gain Christ. Do you see Paul's life as a valuable life? Well then, judge the same way when you look at your own life. Don't judge by sight. Don't judge according to the standards of this world. He's in prison. Are you going to go to him? If he's in prison today, are you going to go to him and say, man, you are a successful person? Or these people who were preaching Christ out of envy and strife, he talks about these people. They will smile that, Paul is in prison and he's over. His life is done. Ha ha ha. Two sinful people, Paul is in prison and that is all they see. But to Paul, whether he is in prison or not really does not matter. Carefully listen here. Whether he is in prison or whether he is out free, he preaches Christ Jesus. That is what his life is all about. For him, it really doesn't matter whether he's inside or outside. He preaches Christ. His life is not about where he is. His life is all about preaching Christ and living out the very life of Christ. This is what our life is all about. Witnessing Christ and living the very life of Christ. Enduring that suffering with joy. Because you already know what you possess in Christ. You already know what is true of you forever and ever in Jesus Christ. Do not judge things by sight. That is the loser. True loser. And he says in verse 13 through 18, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, because of imprisonment of Paul, three things happen. First, that his imprisonment is for the cause of Christ is now well known to the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and there were opportunities for Paul to preach the gospel to them. You know, I was always thinking about, you know, those two guards chained to Paul. And I don't know how long their shift is, you know, maybe 8 hours. Or 4 hours, I don't know, but can you imagine those two? What are they going to do but to listen to Paul? And what do you think Paul was talking about? And, you know, Paul probably think, wow, this is wonderful. Every 4 hours or every 8 hours, new people come to you, and you could start all over again. This is what he understands. And the second thing that happened is that most of brethren have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear because he's in prison. Now, there are some brothers who would preach without fear. If Paul goes to prison, I'm willing to go to prison. You know, like that. And three, some are preaching Christ out of envy and strife. Some others out of goodwill, but in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. This is Paul's judgment. Not judgment in like, you know, punishment. I'm talking about this is how he judges. My circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. This is how he understands his imprisonment. Oh, don't think it's easy. If you are in a prison, that is not how you and I will react. Oh, this is great. That's, in fact, what Paul is saying. Because he does not judge by sight. He judges by faith. I mean, who else will look at Paul's situation and say, that's great? But Paul does. Now, there are a couple things I want you to think about before we move on. Now, let us think about this. Paul preaching the gospel to the Roman guards. And like I said, you know, two guards are chained to Paul, and they have to listen to Paul. But Paul is in chain. Now, what do you think was the content of his preaching? He's in chain, and you think that he was speaking about being rich and healthy in this world? Do you really think that was the content of his gospel? The gospel that he preaches? No. According to verse 15 and verse 17 and verse 18, it is all about preaching Jesus Christ. And that is what we must preach also. Because the gospel is not about you being wealthy in this world or healthy in this world. That is not what it's about. Now, some preached Christ out of envy and evil competition. Those proclaiming Christ out of selfish ambition, thinking they caused Paul distress in his imprisonment. But Paul says, verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, we have to make one thing sure. Here, Paul is not referring to the false teachers. We already know how Paul is so against false teaching. He's not saying, oh yeah, it's okay, false teachers, as long as, you know, they mention Christ's name, then I'm happy. That's not what he's saying. In Galatians 1:9, Paul says, as we have said before, so I said again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. He should be damned. He should go to hell. That's what he's saying. So obviously, he's not saying, oh, all false teachers and teaching the false thing, long as you mention name Jesus Christ, it's okay. That is not what he's saying. These people preach the correct gospel, but with wrong motives and wrong purposes. You know, some pastors, they do their ministry out of envy, out of evil competition. But they teach the correct gospel. There, Paul rejoices. Nevertheless, since Christ is being preached. Here we must understand that our desire is not that only our church must succeed. That is not the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's churches must do well. And we're not in competition. No. Paul lives by faith. He understands the purpose of his life, witnessing, in his case, preaching Jesus Christ and living out his life, Christ's life. He wants to be like Christ. Even him being in prison is being like Christ. Jesus Christ was also captured. And he was killed. Did his being captured and crucified stop the spreading the true gospel? No. Was the opposing forces able to stop the spreading the true gospel? No. Did they destroy the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ? No. Same with Paul. Paul is participating in that life. He would not have it any other way. He wants to be like Christ, even in being imprisoned. Second Timothy 2:9, Paul says, "For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned." Brothers and sisters, understand this. It is not that Paul is imprisoned because he preached Christ, but he is imprisoned to preach Christ. Do you understand that? He is in prison to be like Christ. And how many of us will have that blessing? Not many. Paul is a blessed man. More you could imitate, that God guides your life so that more and more you could imitate Christ and be like Christ, more blessing you have. Because true blessing is not about how much money you make or how healthy you are or what kind of job or car or house you have or anything like that. That's not it. Even non-Christians have those. It's about witnessing Christ and it's living the very life of Christ. Do you feel lonely? Be happy. Christ was lonely. Do you feel weak? Christ lived his life as a weak person. Whatever suffering you might have or feel or whatever right now, Christ experienced all of that, and you're blessed to imitate him in any way possible. I hope you understand the true gospel. I don't think many do. This is not what they want. Jesus Christ was victorious through the cross. By losing, he won.
Paul judges all things in terms of Jesus Christ, in terms of Jesus' life, in terms of the cross of Jesus Christ. For Paul, even his imprisonment is an opportunity to preach Christ, an opportunity to be like Christ. There is no despair in Christianity. No matter what your circumstance might be, it is an opportunity to witness Christ and be like Christ, meaning to live out His very life. Do you understand? All are the opportunities to shine the glory of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, maybe your current circumstances feels like you are bound and locked up and not able to do anything. Maybe you feel like that. Judge all things by faith, not by sight, brothers and sisters. It is an opportunity to witness Christ, an opportunity to be like Christ. Oh, maybe things are not going the way that you like. Everybody looks at you and have pity, sympathy. Oh, your life is sad or whatever. Then all of a sudden you show them how happy you are. And they scratch their heads and they go, what is this? Is she or is he crazy? Why is that person so happy? An opportunity to witness Christ. Whatever your circumstances might be. Yeah, you might feel like Paul. You might feel like you are in a prison. But live by faith, not by sight. Do not be afraid. Do not be despaired. Like Paul, let us learn the secret of being constant. The secret of being joyous in all circumstances. We must live according to the reality of our eternal home, heaven. God's purpose in you is to witness Christ through you. Trust God. Entrust your life to Him. God works all things so that we may be more and more like Christ Jesus. Wherever you are, what circumstances you might be facing, look at it as an opportunity to shine the glory of God, to witness Christ. Show them why you are so happy when all things that is seen clearly shows them that there's no way you could be happy. Then it will be very clear that your happiness is in Christ and Him alone, because nothing else will make sense. When everything is going so well, you're so successful in this world, you know, that's when it's hard to witness Christ. Do you understand that? Look at what God is doing in your life. He's with you. He's in you. He's there. Working all things together so that you may be like Christ. That you may live that very life. That's what our life is all about. You gotta go beyond what is seen. And you must see what is not seen.
Brothers and sisters,
everything is okay. You will be okay. And I will be okay. Because of Christ. And Paul, he's okay. He will soon die, but he's still okay. And it doesn't change him. He does what he does, no matter where he is.
That is what is really happening in your life. That is your reality. I pray to God that you will have faith, that you will believe.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. He is what makes our life so valuable, so important. Oh Father, let us witness him and let us live his life. For that is your purpose for us. Even now you are working everything together so that we may witness Christ and live his life. Oh, how blessed we are. We are truly blessed. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.